our third and final hour on this Monday edition of the Hagmann Report. Dr. David Berman is our guest, and we're going to get back to him in just a moment. I want to, while we're doing this, we got a few emails for Dr. Berman. Thank you so much for having Dr. Berman on the program tonight. I have been so blessed by hearing him many times with Rick Wiles on True News. That is from Peter, and we got another email thanking us for having you on. They enjoy listening to you, and they enjoy the subject matter in which we're talking about. So thank you, listeners, for those emails. Right before we get back to Mr. Berman, I want to bring you a quick word from Greenovative. Greenovative is getting ready for their Black Friday Cyber Monday sales. Once again, Greenovative is offering our holiday season super sales to the loyal Hagmann audience. Last year, lots of people wanted to buy a unit for themselves and one or two more for friends and loved ones. Now is a great time to start buying the gifts for the special Christmas sale. And these are the deals that are ongoing at Greenovative. They're offering Hagmann and Hagmann listeners a 17% discount on the entire store using promo code Hagmann. They still have the 20% off of the mission packs. And the mission packs have been very popular. You can get one for yourself or family or your favorite missionary. And you can go to greenovative.com and order one today. Greenovative also wants to thank the loyal Hagmann Report audience for their support, and they hope to keep providing useful Greenovative products. Greenovative.com is the website. Alan Riggs is who to contact there. And if you have any questions, you can email or call him. The number is right on the website. Again, 17% off, store-wide discount, entering promo code Hagmann. Portable power, anytime, anywhere. That's Greenovative.com.
You know, supporting the sponsor supports us. Simply put, you've seen what's happening with Sean Hannity, and of course the blowback there, the false blowback, the orchestrated blowback. So, yeah, support our sponsors and support us. And it takes, I'll tell you what, because of guest truth tellers, for example, truth tellers like Dr. Berman and others who come on our program. Believe me, you don't think our sponsors hear about stuff that we talk about from the progressive mindset Looney Tunes? Of course they do. So, you know, that's just all part of the process. Joe, I'm going to kick it back to you.
Again, our guest is Dr. David Berman. Check out his book that is up on the screen. Eric, you're going to cue you to that. It's called Wake Up and Smell the Truth. Just reading in the description about this, I really do want to get it, and I said it earlier, it's probably is much more relevant today than it was back then with all the things that we're seeing happen in our society. Wake Up and Smell the Truth. You can get it there on Amazon. During the break, we were talking about what to start out with in this segment, and you wanted to talk about the importance of our world view.
Yes. Your worldview is extremely important. So we're a nation founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic. But it's an interesting thing. The Revolutionary War is called the shot that was heard around the world. And the reason for that is because it challenged a main understanding of authority that had been amongst the kings in Europe for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Actually, over 1,000 years. The idea that the king has a divine right, referred to as the divine right of kings. So divine right of kings said that the king gives you your rights, he takes your rights away, or the king decides because he's the sovereign anointed by God to take your rights and give them to you.
Yeah.
So our father said, I'm sorry, that's not the way it is. If you look at the Bible, you find out that there's certain rights that are inalienable given by God Almighty. And any leader who violates those rights is violating a divine law and will suffer the consequences from Almighty God because you broke his divine law. So throughout our history up until recent times, we've had an understanding that there is a thesis-antithesis thinking, a right and wrong, a divine lawgiver who's not a king, but who is the king, named Jesus. That's why the cry of the revolution was no king but Jesus. They would cry that out, no king but Jesus. Because ultimately, as our, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, who said, if we don't govern ourselves by the Ten Commandments, we'll have more need of masters to govern us. So the sense was, instead of being under a king who's a human being, We have to be under the King Almighty, who is governing us by His Holy Spirit, and we have an understanding of the Ten Commandments and who He is, and the divine right of God, not the divine right of a man king. This moved to a postmodern relativist worldview. The old view is thesis, antithesis, right and wrong. There is a God who is the moral standard giver, and anybody who violates that law and violates the rights of others is breaking that law. Now, of a postmodernist relativistic worldview, which says there is no divine lawgiver. Truth is determined by what you think and what you want. That's why someone can say they identify as something else than what they are. They identify as a woman when they're a man, and they say, you have to accept that because that's my truth. That's not only illogical and stupid, it's insane. But when you have a country go from a set of principles of right and wrong to a set of whatever you think is right, it's pretty simple to rationalize in your mind that you can kill a baby if you want it, but it would be murder. Excuse me, kill a baby if you don't want it, but it would be murder if you want it. If you want the baby, it's murder. Someone shoots you and kills your baby inside of you. That's murder if you want the baby. But if you want to go down the road to get some guy who has a white coat on and a thing on his head, and a little thing that says, I'm a doctor, to rip the child out of you and torture and murder that child, it's okay because it's not really a child because relativistically, you don't believe it is. So what's happened in our country is going from a Judeo-Christian ethic and an ethic of thesis, antithesis, right and wrong, we've gone from that to an idea of I decide what's right and wrong based on my truth, which really, if you want to know the definition of that, what is the definition of me saying I decide what is right and wrong, what is morally acceptable and morally not acceptable? Nobody else does. What I'm really saying is, I'm God. And once we say I'm God, we lose the understanding of what is right and wrong, and we can justify any type of behavior. That's why if you go back to Nazi Germany, you go to Stalinist Russia, you go to Pol Pot's Cambodia, they thought they were doing the right thing for them. Because they have a moral relevancy where they think, hey, the communism is better and we'll kill these people. And no matter how much this stuff happens, people don't seem to understand there's a reason why these things are happening. And that is a removal of God as the central moral figure and the Word of God as the central law of right and wrong and the liberty that's found in the Scripture that we have to grant other people. That's all gone now. We have a relativistic worldview, and there is no right and wrong except with this little caveat. Whatever the liberal orthodoxy of the day is, that becomes the thesis, antithesis thinking. You have to follow what they tell you in those liberal orthodoxy things. You better accept it or else. Because the truth of the matter is, and the dirty little secret is, they don't really, really believe in the relativistic thinking when it comes to what they want. They want to impose their religion on us. You better believe it. And their religion is a secular humanism and a worship of the intellect of man over God. Over God.
Very well said, and I couldn't agree with you more. It is interesting, you know, when you're talking about why the founders set up a system of government the way that they did, with the freedom of speech, with the laws granted by God, not by any authority of men. And there's a lot of places we can take this. Even if you look at the history of man-made governments, God established Adam and Eve on this earth. Then they fell through sin. And after that, you see the authority of God really be taken away, and a man-made system of governance put in its place. Now, thousands of years later, through all the different governments, both in the Bible and even just from the last 100 years, we see what we have with this republic that we live in. And even though God, God did not implement the system of government overtly. It was done by men, and you can argue it was done through a system of God by men. There's two arguments for that. You know, people say that that God ordained these rights, and then others say, especially on the left, that God has nothing to do with it. It's a system instituted by men. Either way, it's not a perfect system, but it's the best system that the world, I believe, that the world has seen. you know, since the fall of man and sin, because it gives you that freedom to be able to do what you want, at least then believe what you want, say what you want. And as you said, that freedom of speech is so important because it allows for the communication and the dialogue between the two sides. Where, if these people have their way, if the devil's agenda and the people that the devil uses to implement this, the agenda, what we're seeing in our country today, if they have their way, what kind of system of government would we see? Would it be a communist system? Would it be a socialist system? Or would it be what the Bible talks about in the end times, a new world order, total control, beast type system?
Well, I think they want global socialism controlled by the global elite. I think that's the goal. The global elite do not want America to be what America has been. That's why they hate Trump so much. Whether you like Trump or not, you know, I'm not here to debate that. But I'll say one thing about Trump is he said that he needs to put America first, and that is against the globalist agenda. The globalists want to bring down America because America is the last bastion of freedom. It's the last place where people have weapons to defend themselves. It's the last bastion of place where there was free speech, where people are willing to say what they want to say. It's the last place on earth, really, that holds back the globalists from having their way. Europe is lost. Europe is lost. It's not coming back. It's lost. America's the place. So I believe they want global socialism, and with hard tyranny. I mean, there's no question in my mind. They don't want a soft tyranny. They want hard tyranny. Mm-hmm. They're going to use power of government to make you submit whether you like it or not. Barack Obama used the power of the IRS against our people. He used the power of national security against our people. He had a wiretapping going on of a presidential candidate, a man who was elected, in office, tapping him. That's true. That happened. There's no question about it. Tapping people who was working on his administration. I mean, this country has been run for the last 8 years by a total anti-American person, and people say, "Oh, you don't like him because he's black." That's ridiculous. That's such an intellectually dishonest answer. I don't care what color the skin the man is. I don't care. Literally, don't care. I care about what he stands for, and what he stood for is diametrically opposed to the founding principles of the nation, the principles of liberty, the principles of self-governance, the separation of powers, the idea of having small centralized power and have the power spread out through the states. Because our founders knew that if you have centralized power, you have such corruption, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. You never get rid of it, and that's what we're in right now with the deep state. So everything that our founding fathers warned us of is happening because they told us that this system of governance will only work for a moral people. People have a sense of what is right and wrong, take personal responsibility. Now we don't have that. We want to have people want to live off the government, want the government to do everything for them, expect the government to fix everything, listen to everything the government says, and believe that that somebody else's money belongs to them. The violation of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, the violation of thou shalt not steal, and on, the works of the flesh, which are mentioned in Galatians, the envy, all those things are prevalent in our society to a great degree, always been prevalent to some extent because we're all human and sinners, but to a great degree now because we've embraced these things instead of the natural right of you having what belongs to you being yours. We think it's a natural right for us to have what belongs to you. We've completely turned this country upside down, and we're wondering why everything's messed up and everybody's on mind-altering drugs and everybody's going to see psychiatrists and families are destroyed and people are killing themselves, and we go, let's continue doing the same thing we're doing. I mean, that is the definition of insanity.
Absolutely it is. And let's take this to another topic. You don't believe there are any political solutions to the problems that we have here in America?
Nope.
You,
I don't.
You think, and you said this earlier, that the divide in your mind is too far? Because I do agree on the political spectrum. The two opposing sides are so far apart that there's no middle ground, nor will there be.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I don't believe there's a political solution because there's a moral problem and a spiritual problem that's so bad you can't fix it with politics. You can't fix the deep state problem, the 50 layers of corruption, at least in Washington, what we've experienced over even the last year, watching how the media is so corrupt, the fake news, everything is so corrupt. There's no political solution to this. We can't have somebody get elected who's going to, I don't care whether you like Trump or not, he's not going to completely clean out the deep state. It's not going to happen, my friends. There's too much corruption. One man can't do that. And even if he did, the real problem and some people are going to get angry at this. You can get mad at Barack Obama if you want to. You can get angry at Trump if you want to. You can get mad at Menendez if you want. You can get at all the politicians if you want to. And I don't like them either, the ones that are doing the bad thing. I don't like them. But I'm going to tell you the real problem is America needs to look in the mirror because the people are the problem. We've turned away from God as a nation. The people have turned away from God. The people don't go to church. They don't serve God. They don't read their Bibles. They don't believe. They don't have faith. They don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that as a nation, you're turning yourself over to secular powers. When you turn yourself over to secular powers, you're going to get secular results. You get secular results, you get what we see. So if you want the nation of America to come back, you can't just elect some guy you think is going to be a hero running in there with the Christian sword is going to fix everything. We need a revival of the Christian church, which leads to a great awakening of the populace in general as the Christian church is empowered with the power of God as we are tuned into things of God, seeking God, winning the lost. Nothing transforms a nation like people coming to Jesus Christ. That's the only answer for this country. Short of that, I believe we'll come to a civil war because the two sides just cannot talk anymore. And one side is really looking to take the rights away from the other. And that's the left that's looking to do that. And at some point, there's going to be a war. The only way to save this country is a great revival in the church, which spills out into a great awakening again into the country, which changes the thinking and worldview back to the Judeo-Christian ethic, and where we embrace our founding fathers' principles, where they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that we see they're self-evident. We see them. The people are blind today. They don't even see the self-evident things that this nation was founded on.
Boy, that's 100% accurate. And, you know, pretty much what you're talking about, too, everything you've said so far, I suspect, and you've written about in your book 10 years prior, or a decade and a couple of years prior. So, am I correct to say that? Because it sounds that way. I mean, you're looking at the same problems, just 10 years worse.
Yes, I've been teaching on these things, teaching on the worldview and explaining how to articulate our view, which is a big problem, I think, in the church, where people don't know how to articulate the viewpoint. I'll debate anybody on this, anybody, I don't care who you are, I'd be happy to debate you, to articulate the worldview that we have, because if we don't articulate it properly, we can't get people to understand why it makes sense what we're saying. I've had lots of conversations with many liberals. Look, I know a lot of liberal people. Okay, I don't just do Christian radio. I've done all kinds of secular radio, lots of it. And I've had conversations with liberal people who are not, you know, unwilling to have a conversation, and have convinced them to at least consider my worldview. And I've had good conversations. But if you can't articulate why we believe what we believe, then you're not going to do very well in the marketplace of ideas. So one of my passions is to articulate our viewpoint as much as possible. I try to get out as much as possible, as much speaking as I can, as much news media as I can, to articulate that. And I really want to train Christian people as to how to articulate our worldview. I mean,
that's so important. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's what's lacking today, I think. And, you know, with the explosion of the alternative media, what is lacking is the what I call the God component, or the spiritual aspect of the message out there. Because we can talk all day long about the geopolitics, but what is missing is that exactly what you're referencing is that.
I mean, listen,
spiritual.
If you're a conservative, pro gun, pro constitution person, and you don't know Jesus, you're still going to end up in hell.
Yeah.
Good People point. May not like what I just said. My job is not to tickle your ears. If you don't know Jesus, in fact, right now, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to accept Christ who died on the cross and paid the price for your sin. You cannot save yourself, no matter how conservative you are, no matter how much you raise the American flag, which I love, by the way. You need Jesus. I just wanted to say that, if I could. It's just a side thing.
Yes, yes.
Maybe somebody listening and you turned in because God ordained it. You turned in right now to hear this preacher tell you you need Jesus Christ. That's what you need. You need Jesus Christ. We've got to be
amen to that. And some pointers, and please feel free, because what we do lack oftentimes, and I believe this to be the case in the alternative media as well as the conservative media, we lack that spiritual worldview. Some pointers. How do you even approach that topic when that topic is not on the table.
Because I think what you have to do is make the argument of why.
Ah, okay.
In other words, so a Christian, a person gets up and they say, "Fool, I think taxes should be low." Why? Well, because it's good for the economy. Well, that is true, but that's not why. Why is because God said that your what you earn belongs to you. I don't have a right to steal from you because I want to pay for something that I want or to give to somebody else. The government is extorting money from you, keeping most of it for itself, and then putting out some to the constituency to try to keep them beholden to the government. Tell them why God said not to do that. Read to them in the scriptures in the Old Testament when they were claiming that they wanted a king. Remember they were begging for a king? Lord, give us a king like the other nations. Give us a king like the other nations. And God told them exactly what would happen. They're going to take your horses. They're going to take your best manservants, maidservants. They're going to take what belongs to you. They're going to have tyranny over your life. God warned them, and they still cried for a king. We can make the argument not just from a spiritual standpoint, but from a very logical standpoint, because contrary to what the seculars think, the Bible is very logical. It's not just spiritual from the standpoint of some things that are supernatural that we can't understand fully because of our human condition, but there's all kinds of very logical teachings in the scripture that explain to you why we hold the view that we do. Also, the empirical data is always on our side. Mm. It's always on our side. It's never on the secularist side. It's never on the left side. It's never on the liberal side. It's always on our side. I've done the studies on the empirical data, and clearly the family's been destroyed since liberalism took over. People have been more mental health issues since liberalism taken over. Less fathers in the home, more fatherless problems since liberalism took over. Education's gone down the toilet since liberalism took over. Want me to keep going?
No, you don't have to. I mean, it's crazy. The perversions.
The empirical data is on our side. It's not on their side. And we allow them to argue like they're right because a lot of our people don't know how to articulate our worldview.
And that's a problem. That's right.
It is a problem. And the second problem, I think, in the church is there's an anti-intellectualism sometimes in the church where they think, well, it's all the spirit and it's floating around out there. And if you use your mind to intellectually articulate that somehow you're not being spiritual, that's stupid.
Thank you.
It's so annoying to me. God gave us a brain to renew our mind with the teaching of the Word of God so we can articulate the truth of the Word of God. Nobody should be able to articulate better than we should because we have the Holy Ghost in us, the power of God in us, the truth of the Word of God in us. We should be able, above anybody, to articulate our worldview. And this anti-intellectualism that sometimes happens in the church is a huge mistake. And one other thing. There's a huge false sense of security that was in the church for a long time. You know, you go to church in America, everybody went to church, you leave church, you go get your church lunch, you hang out with your church friends, you have your King James Bible, you got your bumper sticker, you get your little necklace that says Jesus, and you're just going about your daily thing and serving the Lord and being happy. And when that changed, and it really started changing in the 70s, late 60s.
Yep.
When that changed, which was sown early on in the, early on from Marxism in the early 1900s, by the way. But that came to fruition. That whole thing came out in the 60s. And now we're living in the, what I think is the consequences of that worldview. Mm-hmm. We have a situation now where logic is thrown out the window. And if we are not able to articulate the proper things intellectually, and if our people in church don't understand that things are not the way they were, you can't just play church anymore. This is the real deal. This is America, which is not what it used to be. We are now being attacked physically, spiritually, our characters attacked, and on and on, lied about, and on and on. For people better wake up in the church, and I believe there's a time of a separation of the wheat and the tare in this country, because there's a whole lot of people that are not going to think it's worth it to be persecuted for the kingdom of God.
Amen. And I think you're absolutely right. Our guest is Dr. David Berman. His website, clfchurch.com. You can get it off a program description, of course, as we approach the bottom of the hour. He's going to be with us for one final segment. It's amazing to hear all of this. You know, we talk, folks, we talk about the news, we talk about the events, current events, we talk about the geopolitics, and we present guests, we present issues, but what we're listening to tonight is, in my view anyway, thanks for that, by the way. I don't know whether people caught that. That was John, our producer, making a cameo appearance on the show. But it's interesting to hear from our guest tonight talking about this very issue, the worldview, everything from the Christian persecution,
the state of the church,
the state of
our political
battle. The other side too. I want to ask about. I want to ask about fragging Christians fragging other Christians. Not so friendly fire within the church. It's amazing. Some of the most vile and vicious emails that I've received come from Christians saying, you know what?
The church cannibalizing its own.
Yeah. I mean, I won't even get into the emails.
From denominational fights to personal disagreements.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that a lot of the people who issue these attacks turn around and use scripture to try to justify their point of view, cherry picking scriptures for the most part.
Breaking
other Christian quote unquote laws in the process of doing
that.
One
of the most, I'm going to, Doug, you're going to hell. You're a bad Christian. You're this, you're that. Meanwhile, this individual posts pictures, blasphemous pictures, on his website.
Yeah.
What the heck is that all about?
Dr. David Berman is our guest. He'll be with us for the last half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. We're so honored to have with us Dr. David Berman. You know what? Here's what you need to do. You need to follow him on Twitter. That's what you need to do. At David M. Berman. I'm sorry, Dr. David M. Berman. See, I could screw up the simplest thing. I don't know. I shouldn't even be here as a talk show host. And of course, now I'll get emails saying to agreeing with me. But there it is up on the screen. If you're watching, there is his Twitter feed. Follow him on Twitter. Get the word out. And by the way, ready-made resources. You know, Christmas is coming, obviously. Or perhaps you just want to be prepared. Well, you heard a lot of information today. A lot of things going sideways. And obviously you want to be prepared. Well, the one-stop shop for all things preparedness is ready-made resources. Bob Griswold, our good friend there, has got everything. And let me tell you everything. And he's talked about his communications equipment, his night vision equipment, two items, of course, that if you really want to be prepared, if you want to have that force multiplier in your group, that night vision equipment is indispensable. You could see a gnat, at 1,000 yards. Maybe not, but it's not the cheap knockoffs. This is the real thing. So prepare yourself with night vision and thermal imaging equipment at ready-made resources. Also, their communication equipment. What happens if the grid goes down or the power goes down or communications goes down and your cell phone, you can't get any dial tone? You're going to be watching TV in the dark then, right? No. They've got ready-made resources. It's got just a wonderful array of communications equipment, ham radios and such. So you'd want to check them out as well. Big proponents of that. ReadyMadeResources.com. Contact Bob Griswold, 800-627-3809. That's 800-627-3809, or simply go to readymaderesources.com and make sure you tell them that Doug and Joe sent you, or else we don't get the credit. And we don't get the credit, then he says, well, why do I even bother with you guys? Nah, you know what I'm talking about. But seriously, you can spend all day at the website. Joe.
All right, Dr. David Berman is our guest, and again, the Twitter at Dr. David M. Berman. Follow him there. Right before the break, we were talking about the cannibalization of church members towards other church members, whether it's, and we were using us as an example of some of the emails and the accusations that are thrown against us. And, Dad, as you said, a person will create a picture, a blasphemous picture, at the same time accuse us of being anti-Christian in some way.
You fear porn mongers. You're profiting off of fear. You're profiting off the word of God. How dare you? I don't see us profiting much, but okay. And then there, Dr. Berman, there are people. I don't understand this, that they act as the police, as the prosecutors, the attorney generals of Christians. What's up with that? I mean,
you're saying they're Christians, and we don't know that they're Christians. There are, you know, the internet is, I think, a wonderful thing in many ways, and in many things it's a horrible thing. And one of the bad things about the internet is you have your armchair, you know, spiritual quarterbacks that are, you know, their internet, they're in their mother's basement in their underwear, you know, 35 years old, going nowhere in their life, and they can pick on everybody else, done nothing, do nothing for the kingdom, and yet they can criticize everybody else that's doing something. And it's always been the case that those that do for the kingdom of God are always criticized by those that don't. So I think there's reasonable criticisms that we can give, and if we have heresy being taught, we have to speak out on those things. But, you know, you take people that are out there and are really just ready to speak out. Guys like you and me, you guys and me, we're the type of people that we know we come out and people are going to say all kinds of nasty things about us. They're going to lie about us. They're going to put things in there that are not true about us. They're going to besmirch our character. They're going to question our motivation. I mean, it's just the way it is. But the truth of the matter is there's nothing new about it, because they did the same thing to the apostles. They did the same thing to the early church. And they've been doing it ever since the men and people of God have been speaking the things of God.
Wait a second. When you say it, that makes me feel better, by the way. I just want to throw that in there. Yeah. When I hear you saying that, okay, I feel better now. But you're right.
Someone who says to you that they don't like what you're doing, you're profiting from this and that. Well, first of all, do they know you? Have they sat down and had a conversation with you?
I don't think so. No.
What are they picking out that you're doing that is heretical? Nothing.
Mm.
I don't really care. I know this is, you know, people get really mad at me for talking like this. I'm sorry, but, you know, if someone is a chucklehead, I don't care what they think, frankly. Because if I'm going to care about what everybody thinks, I'll never do the things I do and say the things I say, speak at the places I speak, go on the media, secular media and such. I know I'm going to get hammered by these people. But, you know, we're called as men of God to be effective for the kingdom of God, to expand the kingdom of God. I'm not saying I like when people do that. It's just the reality. And if you're going to get in, if you're called of God and you're going to accept the call, you better realize that that's just the way it is, particularly in the day in which we're living. And it's not like 50 years ago where the pastor walked down the road and everybody was like, good morning, pastor. Hello, pastor. I hope you had a good weekend, pastor. I'll see you in church, pastor. It's not like that anymore, particularly in the area in which I live.
Boy, that's true.
They hate pastors. They can't stand ministers of the gospel. They expect you to say things. They'll come to you. Excuse me. They'll come to you and they'll ask you what you think about something. You'll give them the biblical answer, and then they'll say, "How could you say such a thing? How could you believe such a thing? What did you expect when you came to me? You came to me to hear the word of God. You're going to hear the word of God. That's what you're going to hear. If you don't like it, that's unfortunate, but that's what it is. That's my call. That's my position before God, and I'm going to continue to do it."
Wow.
And you need to do the same thing, brother. You need to do the same thing, brother. And don't worry about what the critics say unless they're talking to you with respect and asking you a real question that you can contemplate and ask yourself whether you're right or wrong. But, you know, the attack people are just idiots.
Well, that concerns me, because what I've seen, I've seen a lot of people hurt by this, and I'm not talking about me at all. I'm talking about people who are really, I don't know, young Christians or young in their walk, and they've got good intentions, and somebody comes along and just destroys them. And I'm thinking, man, you know, and supposedly a Christian destroying another Christian, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, no wonder we're losing the battle at times.
We're totally disunified.
Yeah.
We have Christian people that don't have guts, and the ones that do have guts are always the ones that are criticized hardcore. And again, I want to make myself clear, I'm not always right. I'm a human being. If someone gives me a respectful rebuttal to something I said, I will contemplate that, and I'd be happy to admit I'm wrong. If I contemplate that, go to the scriptures and find that I was wrong, I have no problem with that. I think what you're talking about are the nasty people that they have a Christian label, but they're not Christians, my friend.
Yeah.
A Christian label, and they get behind a computer screen, and all of a sudden they become, you know, theological warriors, and they don't know what they're talking about half the time.
I love that, theological warriors, because, you're exactly right. And you're right. And to hear you say all of this, it does add perspective and context. And especially with the people that I know. And I'm thinking about this one young man, very genuine heart, that just got slammed by somebody. I was watching this conversation unfold. It was actually an email exchange. And I thought, my goodness, this, you know, is new taste of Christianity is being tainted by the spirit of, wow. So anyway. Okay, that's good. I'm going to give out your Twitter address again, because I think people should go there now and follow you on Twitter, Dr. David M. Berman. Just like it is, Dr. David M. Berman. No periods, no spaces, Dr. David M. Berman. You got it, Dr. David M. Berman. There you go. So follow Dr. David M. Berman on Twitter. I just did, of course, from my personal account, and we did from our studio account. So pile on there, because a lot of good information from there. All right. In the final moments here, what would you like to, just our audience, your heart, whatever's on your heart, to wrap up this show? You've got the floor. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you think is important, it's totally up to you.
I think the most important thing for your listeners, if they're Christians, is to ask yourself what you have done to expand the kingdom of God. Because there's a Christian mentality that believes that the pastor is the professional soul winner. He's the professional disciple maker. Really, pastors are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. There are, according to Barna Research, only 10% of Americans, based on surveys, hold a biblical worldview. 10% of Americans. So the funny thing is that 75% of Americans claim to be Christians. I mean, claim to really be Christians. So there's a disconnect between the scriptures and the people who claim to be Christians. So you've got 10%. But listen, we have 320 million people in this country. So let's just say 30 million. Let's say 20 million. What would happen in this country if 20 million people were actually doing the work of the ministry? We're actually winning souls, making disciples. We're actually getting out their own finances and supporting the things of God. We're actually taking people to church. We're actually meeting people at lunch, buying them lunch, sharing the gospel with them, loving them, helping them understand who Jesus is. That would turn this country upside down in a good way very quickly. 20 million people winning one person to Jesus in 1 year. What do you have? 40 million people. One person again, you have 80 million people. You see what happens? The church is the problem, because the people will not do what the Word of God says. And now we have many pastors. Thank God there's many good ones. Thank God. But there's many pastors that are horrific, who will get on television, be asked, for example, by The View, the most liberal show you can possibly watch, asked about abortion, and a pastor got on there and he would not say abortion was wrong.
I saw that.
Now, you want to tell me what the problem was with America? And the church can say it's the secularists, it's the atheists, it's the colleges, this and that. Certainly there's a problem there. Don't misunderstand me. I speak about it all the time. But the real issue is the church itself, where people, preachers are not willing to be preachers. They're hirelings. They won't say it the way it is. They won't preach the gospel. The people will not receive the word of God. They will not win the lost. They will not make disciples. And then they wonder why their country is going to hell in a handbasket. And that's why, most importantly, I think the church needs a serious time of repentance, a great awakening, a revival within the church that will ultimately spill out into the society. And that's the only hope for the nation. There's no question in my mind about that. History teaches me that. The word of God teaches me that. Remember this, in Israel, every revival in Israel started with a revival back to the Word of God. Every single one. Every single revival in history always started with a revival back to the Word of God.
That's true.
If we don't have a revival back to the Word of God in the church will continue to go the way it is, which is a large part of it, not all of it, thank God, but a large part of it, either playing church like they think everything's fine, like it was 100 years ago, or sort of becoming more and more postmodern, more and more compromised on homosexuality, transgenderism, and all this insanity. And as the church says it, it's going to weaken and weaken and weaken, and the country is doomed. If the church fails, the country is doomed. Let me say it again. If the church fails, the country is doomed, and it's doomed to tyranny. You heard it here. I'm telling you. I know history. I'm a student of history. I read. I study. I don't just talk. I read and study. I'm telling you, if the church fails, this nation is headed for hard tyranny.
Wow. And yeah, full stop after that. Indeed. We've got about four or five different emails from, actually one from the UK, and the rest are from continental United, well, North America anyway, wanting your assessment of Donald Trump as president in the White House. Various, the questions are all various, worded differently, but that's the right essence of the emails.
Well, the secularists often say, well, how come you Christians are supporting Donald Trump? Yeah, he's obviously, he's got a bit of a sort of history with the ladies. He's not, you know, sort of the guy that we would think is, he's not going to be the next, you know, president of a Christian denomination. But they don't understand the Bible. God often uses flawed people. God has always used flawed people. God uses people. Donald Trump is in office because God allowed him to be in office. Most Christians would tell you, at least he doesn't hate us. At least he doesn't want to destroy us. At least he believes we have freedom of speech. Now, I think Donald Trump is, I have information that I think is very credible, that people have been speaking to Donald Trump about the Bible, about the gospel, about the things of God quite a bit. I don't want to say who I know, but I know a lot of people, and I have very good information on that. But Donald Trump cannot fix the problem because Congress doesn't want to work with him, neither does the Republicans, because Republicans, I hate to give a newsflash to the diehard GOP, many of them are just Democrats in disguise. They're liberals, yep. Big government people. This left-right paradigm is nonsense. You have real Americans and people who are un-American. You have constitutionals and people who are not. And they're in both. Both parties have people that are totally in favor of big government, totally in favor of getting rid of the constitutional principles and only picking from when they want to. So Donald Trump comes in the office. He's not going to fix everything. I give the man great credit for standing up and saying the things he says in the midst of incredible attacks on his character, attacks on everything the man says, the fake news, the lies. So, do I think was Donald Trump my choice? No, he was not. My choice was Dr. Carson. But clearly, you have a choice between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Most Christian people simply chose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton,
right?
Because the thought of Hillary Clinton is enough to make anybody choose anybody else. I mean, this woman, the only going on her. So my assessment of Donald Trump is he's trying his best to deal with what he's been given to deal with and what he's tried to do. And I think he's done a reasonable job from his perspective, what he can do. But again, if Congress refuses to work, in particular his own party, what do you expect the man to do? He's gotten rid of many regulations, which have sincerely and helped the economy. But ultimately, money is not God. It's a false god.
That's right.
If the economy takes off, the country will be destroyed and will go into hard tyranny eventually if the church fails. That's the way it is. So my assessment of Donald Trump on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give him a 6 personally. I think he's tried. He can do better. I don't agree with him on everything. That's for sure. But he's not the nation's pastor. He's the president. And I pray for the man. I had a prayer meeting at my church for him. I also prayed for Barack Obama because the Bible commands me to pray for those who are in power. When he was in power, I prayed for him. I prayed that he would that the Spirit of God would reveal to him, that he would come to know Jesus Christ. I prayed for the health of his family. I don't wish evil on people, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say it again. I don't mean to repeat myself, but I am a preacher. So, right? That's what we do. The nation has got to come back to Jesus. The church has got to come back to the Word of God. We need a revival. We need the church to come back to the Word of God, and we need that awakening to spill out into society, and we need the people of God to do the work of the ministry. You want this country to be saved for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, and as far down as along the Lord shall tarry, I will tell you right now, you are the key. You, Christian, are the key to this nation. Win someone to Christ. Bring them to church. Tie to the church. Support your preacher if he's a good one. If he doesn't preach the gospel, get out of that church and get in one where they preach the gospel and serve the Lord and win the lost, and you'll see the nation change. Nothing else will change this nation. Nothing.
Fantastic. Dr. David M. Berman is our guest, and you've basically brought us to the end of the program. I would like everyone to certainly follow Dr. David Berman on his Twitter feed. Hey, that's the way of the world today. There it is on screen. If you're watching this on YouTube, Dr. David M. Berman, that's his YouTube address or name.
YouTube.
Yeah, Twitter. Twitter. Thank you. And of course,
may I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I just want to quickly say that I am available for those watching, or if you have other media that wants me, I'm available. I do this a lot because I've got to speak out. I think this needs to be heard. Also available as my schedule permits for speaking engagements as well, conventions, conferences, or whatever, churches, whatever, where they want somebody who's going to have the guts to say the things I'm saying and knows how to articulate these things. So I just want to put that out there. If anybody's interested, feel free to contact me. You can contact me through our website, which is clfchurch.com. You can email me, drdave@clfchurch.com, or you can contact me through Twitter or Facebook as well.
I love it, and I would recommend highly to have this man as your guest speaker. You know he's going to be a crowd pleaser, let me tell you. You've heard him on the show, and I don't think he'll hold back. I think, and this is what we need. As Christians, this is exactly what we need, especially if you're listening to this in your alternative media. Please have this gentleman on just to appeal to and inform and enlighten your audience as well. Dr. Berman, thank you so very much, man. I'll tell you, you've been a blessing to us.
Thank you. It's been a tremendous honor to be with you. Thank you so much.
Okay, do come back again, please, and we'll talk some more.
I guarantee you I'll be back. I enjoyed myself.
All right.
You guys.
All right. Thank you, Dr. David Berman. Thank you so very much. Folks, wow, we're almost at the end of the program here, and this is... Joe, to me, I don't think there's any more important issues than what Dr. Berman had talked about. Because, again, this is through the lens, the worldview that he's talking about, through the lens of the Christian worldview, I suppose, is the way to say it, or the way I would say it. It's how we look at things. And look how far we've fallen as a nation.
Especially as a church.
As a church, yeah. And the churches, like he said, I wrote it down here, if the church fails, the nation, essentially, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Despite what all these other people think.
Right, right. And no matter how good the economy is, but if the church fails, if we lose what, if we lose that Christian,
The belief system.
Yeah,
lose the Christian worldview, it's crazy to see what's happening, because as we talked about with Dr. Berman, it's not just and he said it best. It's not just the atheists and the liberals and you know the communists and all these different groups coming in attacking the church and adding to its downfall. It is mostly Christians inside the church, from the perverting of the scripture, from the way we live our lives, from not reading the Bible, that is first and foremost hurting the Christian church. And those exterior forces are just adding fuel to the fire. But we are our own worst enemy. as the body of the church and not doing our job the way we should. And that's got to change if we want to change the things in our country. And we're going to continue to see the growing divide against apostate Christians and real Christians. And that divide's going to continue to grow. And the real Christians will become more secure in their faith, and the apostate Christians will go further and further from the scriptures and the foundation of Christianity, and we'll see them moving closer to that, conforming to the world.
You know, it's kind of an extension of what we're talking about to compare this to the headlines. 53 Alabama pastors have signed letters of support for Judge Roy Moore after the Washington Post hit piece. You've got Judge Roy Moore, by the way, slamming discredited ambulance chaser Gloria Allred as a sensationalist leading a witch hunt. And he strongly denies new accusations. Looks like he's got his voice. And he's saying, no, this is all just BS. It's designed to derail my conservative Senate campaign. And of course, you've got Lindsey Graham. I just want to say this. Lindsey Graham came out and said, even if you win, you lose to Moore. What kind of, seriously, what's that about?
Well, what's interesting about this latest claim that, as you said, Gloria Allred paraded her out.
Yep.
And Roy Moore is saying he denies the allegations of a sexual assault. Says he didn't know the woman, but the woman showed an obscure sign from her yearbook that apparently Roy Moore signed. My question is, if she really did go, and I'm not trying to attack the victim, I'm trying to ask the question.
Yes.
If she really did feel like he was trying to rape her, why would she come back months later and have him sign her yearbook? Because apparently the yearbook signing happened after the incident, which she's referring to. I don't know. I'm not here to be the judge. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I think in America, and I think we should have the presumption of innocence, whatever happened to that. We don't try cases. We don't try people in the court of public opinion. We try them in courts. And everyone is quick to take, you know, if this was, I'm just going to leave it there because we could talk about this all night long. Judicial Watch, by the way, new documents show FBI director, deputy director, that is, Andrew McCabe, did not recuse himself from the Clinton email scandal investigation until a week before the presidential election. This is something I think I'm going to be addressing tomorrow on my morning show, in addition to other matters relating to Sean Hannity specifically. And speaking of Sean Hannity, make sure you read Peter Barry-Chalka's articles, folks, please, and tweet them out, put them on your Facebook page. But he has done a fantastic job of outlining the situation with Sean Hannity. People still ask me, well, why is that important? I think we covered that pretty well.
Yeah.
I think bottom line is we did. So.
One other thing here before we go.
Go ahead.
I mentioned this, I think, at the end of the last hour. There's an article up on Fox News right now, and you're sure going to see this tomorrow in the papers, even though it's really a non-story. Donald Trump Jr. releases email communications with WikiLeaks from before the election. This is showing Donald Trump Jr.'s correspondence with WikiLeaks prior to the 2016 presidential election. And some people are trying to make this a huge deal out of this, saying, oh, this proves Russian collusion, because the media has tried to identify WikiLeaks as a Russian source, even though it has nothing to do with Russia. And these tweets were out in July, but he has re-released them, and they're trying to make a big deal out of this. We'll see how big of a deal the left-wing media tries to make out of this. But bottom line is, Donald Trump Jr. corresponded with a media outlet before the election, and somehow they're trying to twist this into a edition of collusion story, like this is the smoking gun that's going to bring down the house.
By the way, we the Hagman Report has been accused of colluding with the Russians, and there's actually, if you dig, you'll find it. There's actually somebody on, and I think I played it for you. Did I play it for you? Where someone is calling for our being hung by the next?
Oh yeah, yeah, dead. Yeah.
So, because we are treasonous, we're traitors.
For what again?
For being colluding with Russia. Which?
Oh.
Where's my?
Show me the Russians. I'll collude.
Show me the paycheck or whatever. But anyway, So there's somebody out there who believes that we should be hung by our necks until dead.
Hung
by our necks until we laugh, I guess, right?
Well, the NFL's picking up on this a little bit. Colin Kaepernick is suing the NFL for colluding against him. He was a free agent who opted out of his contract and didn't get signed this year because he started the anthem protest. No team wants to sign him. Now he's suing the NFL, citing collusion of two teams in particular, Houston and Green Bay, for not signing him this year after he opted out of his contract. It's pretty funny, though, the collusion word being thrown.
Collusion. We have to ban that word, collusion. We should, right? Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, you sleep with dogs, you get fleas sometimes. And with all due respect to dogs, too. Anyway, that'll do it. That'll do it until tomorrow. My 9 to 10, Doug Hagman Radio Show, 2 to 3, Joe and John, and then the flagship show, 7 to 10, on Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and, of course, YouTube. And thank you, Dr. David M. Berman. Thank you so much. Good night.